you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 18. I want to just share some thoughts with you to think about, but I'm going to have you help me with that. Some of you have been asking, yes, we had a grandchild. If you were here last night, you saw lots of pictures. I don't have any pictures for you today because we're giving Glenn a break in the back. He's tired of pushing to make slides go. No, he's not, but I didn't give you any pictures. But I got lots. If you want to see, I'll stay. Kisa has lots. Honey has lots. Colin probably has a couple. So we're excited about a little boy named Brooks Reed, who is our first grandchild. So praise God for blessings. I want to talk to you about the truth. I want to talk to you about the King. We've been talking as a church about the coming of Jesus Christ and the true Christmas story, what that really is, and who it's about. It's about a little baby that was born in a manger, but he's so much more than that. He truly is the truth, and he's also the King. Okay? So whether you and I acknowledge it or grab a hold of it, or whether somebody in your family that you're praying for grabs a hold of that truth, that he is King and he is truth, that's up to them. But it doesn't change the fact that he is still King and he is still truth. So as I read just a couple of verses, we're going to be in John 18. We're going to start in verse 33 in just a moment. In just a moment when I read, or the rest of this time over the next couple of minutes, if I say the word King, I want you to say King as loud as you can. If I say the word truth, I want you to say truth as loud as you can. Okay, I'm not going to wait on you. You've got to be fast. Okay? King or truth, if you hear it, say it. You just heard it and you didn't say it. Anytime you hear King, you're supposed, anytime you hear truth, you're supposed to, okay, good. There you go. See? Y'all are waiting. Now, I know some of you have been up since 5 this morning with little kids who wanted to open. Some of you with teenagers haven't even opened presents yet, but you'll do that later. So anytime those two words are used, I want you to use that. You'll remember the context of this part of Scripture in John 18. Jesus has been arrested. Why is he talking about that on Christmas Day? You'll see in just a moment. But Jesus was arrested. And when he was arrested, he was passed back and forth among officials. The Jewish officials passed him off to the Roman officials, and they passed him back, back and forth. Nobody wanted to declare that he needed to be crucified, that he needed to be killed. But that's what the Jewish leaders wanted. So he finally comes back to Pilate, who's the Roman governor. And we pick up his kind of interview, kind of just the two of them together, probably some of Pilate's officials there. But the Jewish officials weren't there, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Join me in verse 33 of John chapter 18. Pilate therefore entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Good, there you go. Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you up to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king?"
King.
Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" So King and truth are two words. Good, very good. You got to catch it. I told you, you got to be fast. Those are our two words that I want us to pay attention to, because they're very pivotal to what's happening here in the course of human history with Jesus Christ. We've celebrated him. We believe in him. Hopefully you trust him as your Lord and Savior. But I want you to see what happens here. So when Jesus was arrested again, he was passed back and forth among some of the leaders. The Jewish leaders turned him over to Pilate finally. He kind of was passed back and forth. But finally enters the praetorium, which is just probably a courtyard kind of an area at the home where Pilate was probably staying in Jerusalem. It wasn't his normal home. But notice that the Jewish leaders weren't in there. You can go back and see that, but they weren't in there because they considered it to be unclean to go where a Gentile or a non-Jew lived, or where he was going to probably execute judgment, which is crazy because they want Jesus put to death. They want to murder him. That's what they want to happen. But they're worried about them becoming unclean, so they don't go into the praetorium or the courtyard where Pilate is going to interview Jesus and make a decision, because he's the only one now who can make the decision whether he's going to live or die. So it's kind of a private conversation between them. Look at verse 33 again. Pilate asked Jesus if in fact he was the king of the Jews. Good. Jesus, he asked him, are you the king of the Jews? That's what he asked him. He didn't really care about all the other stuff, but he asked them that question. And Jesus, in fact, in this conversation with him, confirms that in fact he is. That he is the king of the Jews. That is what God has prepared him for. Even though the Jews don't recognize him yet as that. But that's who he is. And if you remember, that's why he's crucified. When he's crucified, Pilate puts that on the sign over his cross, signifying to everybody who had walked by what his crime was. And you remember that the Gospels record that the Jewish leader said, hey, you can't say it that way. And Pilate said, no, it's going to say what I say it's going to say. And it said on his sign, the king of the Jews. Not that he claimed to be, but in fact that he was in Pilate's eyes. And so Pilate has this interaction with him that we just read. And notice in verse 34, Jesus answered his question and said, are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? In other words, he's asking Pilate, do you believe that I am who I say I am? Pilate didn't want to have anything to do with this. All he wanted was everything in this Jewish festival where a million plus people had gathered in Jerusalem to settle down so he could go back to his normal life. But he has to be there to kind of make sure that everything is running like it should. And so Pilate answers him in verse 35, and he says, I'm not a Jew. He's trying to make an excuse. He's telling him, look, your own leaders are the ones who put you up here. They're the ones who are saying that you're not who you say you are. And now they want me to do something about it. In verse 36, Jesus then answers that and says that my kingdom is not of this world. But he says, in fact, if my kingdom was here, if I truly was on my throne now, then there would be men who would fight for me. Because when you have a king, you have a kingdom, and you have people who would defend that. You'd have fighters that would fight to defend you. And in this case, his kingdom is not of this world, he says, but he says, my kingdom is of a different realm. In verse 37, Pilate says to him, are you a king? Jesus answered him, and he declares to him, that in fact, he answered correctly. Notice what he says in the middle of verse 37. I am a king. Then look at what else he says. For this I have been born. Jesus knew his role. He knew he gave up his place in heaven to come down to earth for God's purposes. And part of his purpose is exactly what's happening here. He says that he has come into the world to bear witness for the truth. And he says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. In other words, if we believe in him and we hear him, we know him. He even says earlier in the gospel, he says, those who know him, when they hear his voice, they respond because they're his own. Look at again what he says in verse 37. He is there to testify, to witness of this truth. And all who hear the truth will hear his voice. In verse 38, he asked Pilate a question. What is truth? I'm sorry, Pilate asked him that question. So Pilate's wrestling with this decision of what is he going to do. He doesn't really believe this guy is who he says he is. He just wants him out of his life. He doesn't want to have anything to do with him. He doesn't even want to be bothered now, but he's having to be bothered because of the situation and because of the uprising that's taking place. If you and I fast forward to Revelation 19, John describes to us in Revelation the coming of Jesus Christ the last time. And this is really what Christmas is all about. Yes, Jesus comes as a baby. Yes, he comes and fulfills the prophecies of God's word. But if you think about it, this is the end. This is what it's all about when Jesus is revealed in all of his glory. In Revelation 19, part of it describes that. Look with me just at verse 16. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's a declaration that happens at the end that in fact he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. He is the truth. There is no other way. So this Christmas we celebrate Jesus Christ. And yes, we recognize that he was born. We celebrate Christmas Day. That's why many of you are here. You're celebrating that Jesus Christ came to the earth as the Savior of the world. But all in the end is declared, and God will proclaim through his Son that in fact Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that truth. Jesus is who he says he is. And we celebrate him today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the miracle that is Jesus Christ. We thank you that you sent him to us because you love us. And Father, I thank you for those gathered in this room and those watching online today. I thank you that we have not only heard, but we know deep in our hearts that in fact Jesus is the King of Kings. And in fact, he is the Lord of Lords, that he is the truth, and there is no other way to you except by believing in him as Lord and Savior. And so, Father, on this Christmas day, we celebrate the fact that you brought Jesus to us. And we celebrate the fact that he is not just a baby who was born to Mary and Joseph and placed in swaddling clothes in a manger, that shepherds came and celebrated, that wise men came and celebrated, that books have been written about and songs have been sung about that very day that we call Christmas Day. But Father, we thank you that in fact he came to be our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's available to anyone and everyone who will believe. Thank you for making salvation possible through him, and thank you that in fact he is the only King we'll ever need of our hearts, and he is the only Lord of our lives that we will ever need. We praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray your blessings on each and every family gathered in this place today. We pray that you would help us never forget who your Son truly is. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.